So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight.
Wow, music coming out of the intro. I was genuinely surprised by that.
I got some production here. What do you think, man? This is like a poorly put together thing. We got printed out signs that we just printed out 5 minutes ago, taped onto the table.
I would love to take so much credit, but I think I put so much less into this event than one waiting here.
Nope.
Welcome, everyone, to the first ever live edition of Review Away here at the Holiday Inn West Bank. I think 96% of you here are here for this podcast, and we have a great table of four over there who have no idea what is going on here.
Yeah.
So if you are not professional wrestling fans or here for WrestleMania this weekend, well, boy, are you in for a very fun next 90 minutes to 2 hours. Wait, this is amazing. I had fears when we announced this that it would be you, me, and maybe one guy showing up with like a sticker.
You, me, and Dustin. You, me, and Dustin. We'd be getting drunk. It would be like how we usually do the show.
Well, it is noon right now. Wei has already popped open a beer.
Yeah. I popped a beer, but I also have a coffee, so you know this is serious. You know I'm taking this seriously. My one coffee of the day. And the combination of the two, I don't think I've ever done this. Coffee and beer together. What's going to happen?
Well, everyone knows that the coffee, a huge underlying theme here for Review Away listeners. And because of that fact, Dustin, who runs this whole thing, really helped put this thing together, is giving everyone today complimentary coffee here throughout the podcast. And as you notice, as I drink my coffee here, I am given my section here so that if I spill anything, all the important stuff is over there and we won't lose this podcast.
Yeah, we don't actually own any of this gear, so...
Yeah, this is all rented, folks, so yeah. This could be the end of us if any of this goes down. This is going to be a pretty loose show. We're not necessarily breaking down any matches. We're not going to time anything. We won't be talking about cannibalism because out of respect to those that might not be our listeners, they might not get the jokes.
What are those four people thinking right now?
They're probably thinking a check, please. That would be my guess. Or they're really excited about what is this wrestling that is going on and why are these people all watching these two guys talk? What vain bastards these two are. They're on a stage here. It's like, come to listen to our tones.
Review Away? What? How do you even pronounce that? What, you know? What's this guy's real name?
Which one is Wei Ting?
Yes. This guy?
Was there anyone confused who had never maybe seen us before? Because we actually had a guy yesterday who came up to us at WrestleCon and was under the impression that we were flipped and didn't quite believe that this was Wei Ting.
I let him know. This was, I mean, if you've heard our podcast from last night that we recorded at 2 a.m. in the morning, there's this guy that I met at WrestleCon who's like, I'm passing by, I'm wearing my Reveal Way shirt, and then this guy's like, hey, who are you? What's your name? And then, he was eyeing me. What do I say? I say, I'm John Pollock, of course. And he's like, John Pollock is Asian? He was somewhat intoxicated, I bet. He claims he wasn't, but, maybe he's permanently intoxicated.
He then went for the follow-up question. Man, you Japanese? Let me see those eyes. Nah.
How dare you laugh? You're all just as guilty.
You know, I was kind of disappointed at WrestleCon, Wei, because we've been coming to these WrestleMania events for a couple years now, and whenever I go to a convention and we do some of these interviews, we all know there is one man that whose heart I am always after at these conventions, and that is one Ed Leslie, Brutus the Barber Beefcake. I mean, a staple of the convention circuit. And the history of my fascination with Brutus Beefcake, it goes back to 2008, when we contacted this man to do a phone interview. It was myself and Dan Lavransky, and we call up Ed Leslie, and he picks up the phone as if we're a Jehovah's Witness trying to get solicit his credit card information out of him. And we start the interview, and he's coming up to Toronto for some independent show in front of 30 people. I'm trying to give him some promotion. And then all of a sudden, Dan asks a question to him, and it's just silent, and we just hear, "Oh, Jesus!" And Dan is everything okay, brother? Oh, my wife just passed out. I'm going to have to call you back. He never called back. We were genuinely concerned here that an overdose might have just been recorded here on our podcast. I don't think I can air this interview. That was my second worry, is what we're going to run on Sunday night. So we never heard back from him. Wife turned out to be okay. But that was the introduction to Brutus Beefcake and our interactions, because then I did an interview with him physically in person when he came up in Brantford, and I go up to him and I ask Brutus, hey man, could we get 2 minutes for you to chat here for the television station we work for? It better be quick. And he gets up and he goes to stretch his back. And I just look at Wei like, what are we doing here? So as Brutus Beefcake did his calisthenics to get ready for this question and answer session, he turned around and me and Wei had just bolted. And ever since then, it's always a great story with Brutus Beefcake. And this year at WrestleCon,
Did we bolted? We left?
I walked away. Why didn't we interview him?
Why did we do that?
Because he was doing this stretching deal. I didn't have the patience here to wait for Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
He wanted to get ready.
I had more important interviews that day, like Scott Steiner, that would get me on Botchamania.
That was right. That was a classic interview.
Classic interviews. The hours and hours that I've done, that's the part that will, long after I'm dead, some kid will find out about John Pollock on Botchamania.
Calling his move the Hurricane Rana. And being corrected to be told it's...
Don't you ever fucking call it a Hurricane Rana. Mm-hmm. So no Ed Leslie this year. So I was a little down last year. We did see Virgil there.
We saw Virgil. Not only did I see Virgil, I saw Virgil talking to somebody. I saw Virgil...
I saw the guy smile. I don't even think it was legit Mike Jones.
I saw Virgil actually. It was kind of misleading because it was like... He was talking to a little kid, and the little kid had like a little replica WWE title, and it was more so not him necessarily interacting with the kid. It was like, put that title down. Hey, come over here. Put that title down. Take my title. It was almost him like harassing the kid to talk to him.
He paid $30 for a photo with Virgil.
Wow. Good for you. Charity is great. Hey, if I went to one of these things as a fan, I feel like Virgil would be the one that I would want to take. And not necessarily Virgil. Like, I would just want to pose at his table. Like, Virgil, you can get out of here. I just want to put a photo of myself
at his
table.
Dude is just too legit to quit, even in 2014, man. He's just living by that mantra. You know, the funniest interaction I think we had at WrestleCon, we forgot to chat about this on our show last night, was this elderly woman who started... chatting with Wei Ting. Was just fascinated here by the eyes, I guess.
Ugh, disgusting.
How did this interaction begin, and when did the reveal of who this woman come
this
to
was,
be?
This was towards the end of the day. We were about to, as we say goodbye to our non-wrestling fans, thank you for coming anyway. Hopefully we've not scarred you for life from this beautiful sport.
It lasted longer than I thought. Let's give them a hand, everyone.
This was towards the end of the evening as we were about to, you know, wrap up all our interviews, and I was just shooting some what do we call B-roll, which is just I don't know what the B stands for. Big. This is a terrible podcast. You guys are all regretting showing up. So I was just shooting.
It's okay. None of them are going to download it.
I was shooting a bunch of extra footage, and all of a sudden, like, you know, this group of elderly women are like, hey, shoot me. And usually I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, move aside. Get out of my way. And then meanwhile, I was just like, well, yeah, okay. Usually what I would do is, like, I would just point my camera at them and not even look into the camera. I'm like, yeah, I'm shooting. Yeah, you look great. Yeah, good stuff. And then, but I just decided to talk to these people, and I was like, well, you know, are either of you famous or any of you wrestlers? Just kind of jokingly asking. And then these two women point at their friend, and they're like, she is. She's a wrestler. And then I'm like, you are? Because this looked like, I mean, looked like any of our mothers. Not my mother, because my mother's Asian. But this is like a white woman. And they're like, this is Rockin' Robin. And then, you know, she didn't look like anybody who was
that, That's one way when, oh shit, I don't know anything about this woman. Yeah. Hey, Pollock.
Yeah, pretty much.
Come meet Rockin' Robin.
Like, I've heard of you before.
And I must my home memory bank of Rock and Robin, pleasure to meet you, WrestleMania 5, America the Beautiful. And she just buries her head into her hands.
Her one recognition at this whole place, and you had to bring up the perhaps
this,
the most
this
embarrassing
apparently
moment.
A very traumatic experience for her, because as she was told, she was going to sing America the Beautiful at the Trump Taj Mahal. She gets into the ring, and I mean, this is a lovely woman, and all I'm thinking during this conversation is how we buried this performance when we reviewed WrestleMania 5 months ago. She's explaining to us that as she's singing the song for the live crowd, the music is being pumped out on the home video release, but inside the building, there was nothing. It's just this woman reciting the lyrics to America the Beautiful to no music.
Yeah.
Which would have been awesome to attend live and catch.
Yeah, would have been great for us. But, she just seemed the stereotypical kind of ex-wrestler image that I think we all have is like, okay, somebody who's kind of, been through a lot, but she just seemed completely normal, has moved on from pro wrestling for years and has sort of developed her own life, but keeps some friends in the industry. And that's what she was there to do, is just to, she's from Louisiana, decided to make the drive down and just see some of her friends and seemed completely pleasant and completely cool.
Yeah, she was not going to the Hall of Fame, but her brother, Jake Roberts, was. How many people here went to the Hall of Fame on Saturday night? Did everyone follow suit as I did and text their mother this morning? That was, in my opinion, my favorite Hall of Fame speech ever. And I think there was that point in the speech where you think this thing is just going down this dark hole of just atrocity. And then suddenly there's like a moment. And I don't know if it was citing the woman of Ipanema, or talking about Earth Day, or cervical tracts. But there was that moment in that speech where you suddenly realize Mr. T is the best worker in this entire arena, because the joke was on us. And Wei doesn't believe this to be the case, but I thought Mr. T was brilliant.
Well, show of hands, how many of you think that he was intentionally...
How about we go by applause for the people that are listening at home?
Okay, yes, you're right. Thank you. Thank you, John. But by show of audible waveform, how many of you think that Mr. T was intentionally going for a comedic performance last night?
What was up with that delay?
And how many of you think that he was being completely genuine and being completely serious? That tells me
know that guy got back into the green room and some guy came up and said, man, that was really moving. And Mr. T, yo, fuck my mama. I was adopted and left for dead.
That'd be great.
I want to see Mr. T back. Put him on commentary every week on Main Event. Do something.
Bring him out to Brodus's theme song and, have him manage like a Rock and Robin will come back and be his mom. And
wow, just put our whole weekend into one program.
Yeah.
That would be great. Mr. T, Rock and Robin, and some Japanese man with eyes. I'm trying to paint a picture for the guy at home who's trying to piece something together.
By the way, as usual, I'm the only Asian in this room. While in my time in Louisiana, we got two people who claim to be Asian that clearly aren't, but maybe Marcus is part Asian. You're half. Okay, so we have 1.5 Asians in here, probably 1.5 in all of the state of Louisiana. So
the cultural differences we have occurred at some of these wrestling events. Nothing beat last night at the Hall of Fame. During Lita's speech, where she's going through all these influences on her career, and we're in the media section, keep in mind. So these are people that are, somewhat covering this, varying degrees of professionalism from anyway. Lita's going through all these names, and then she mentions Manami Toyota, only one of the greatest performers in the history of professional wrestling. And this dude in front of us just snickers to his buddy, thought that was some car dealership. And I am blown away by how many car dealership Asian references we've encountered now over the last week between Seiya Sonata, between Tenryu and Koji Kitao at WrestleMania 7, and now Manami Toyota.
Was there? Yes, you're right. You're right. Well, we also did drive a Nissan from the airport. Is that that's a Japanese car, right?
A Nissan?
I don't know.
I think our car has gone through some extreme damage. We're very worried about right now.
Yeah.
Save for another day.
I've been told that there's like a Nissan factory close to New Orleans, and therefore that's why they're so popular here. Unfortunately, we probably picked the worst sampling of a Nissan from our dealership in our time in Louisiana.
I would say there was about a 30% chance me and Wei could have died on Thursday when we arrived here. We picked up our car and proceeded to get onto the highway where we realized that...
Hold on. Before we even get to the highway, we had a number of cars to choose from, and neither of us are really car guys, so we kind of picked by color or by brand. And so John decided, oh, Nissan. I've had great experiences with Nissan.
Nissans drive great was my comment. That's my car analysis.
I wanted the red car. I wanted, like, the red, what is it? Probably a Civic. Because that's what my people drive.
All right.
John picks the Nissan, and then from the get-go, I'm like, okay, can I put my stuff in the trunk? We spent like 5 minutes trying to figure out where the latch was to open up the trunk. We finally do that. I do that. And then next it was time to turn on the car. Typically, this would involve putting the key into ignition and turning it clockwise. This was a keyless ignition, which neither of us have done. So we're pressing this thing, and it's not like it's lighting up, but we're like, is this actually on? Like, is this just a really silent vehicle? And it wasn't until another 5 minutes where we realized, oh, you got to step on the brake to do this, and that it didn't end there.
This was a comedy sketch entitled Two Morons from Canada Traveling. We finally get the thing going, and this thing's making a noise, to which Wei just broke it down as, well, the car's making a big noise because it's so silent when you turn it on that it's got to compensate. And my response was, yeah, that makes sense. So as we're driving out, I do note on the dashboard, it's starting to say, check tire pressure. Again, that was not a warning sign to me.
Check tire pressure. What's the big deal?
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
We get onto the highway. This sound, we were driving like a NASCAR race at this point where the throttle on this thing was so loud and the RPM was now up to about 6.
Yeah, I became slightly concerned when I noticed that the RPM was up to 6, and we were still one of the slower cars on the highway. Everybody was passing.
People are zooming past us. I'm full on the gas, hitting about 60. Wei is just in his most calm voice, oh my God, we might die here if this tire explodes on us on the highway, literally on the road to WrestleMania.
We were stuck on the highway. There's no way for us to exit. We're in a foreign country here in America, Louisiana. I'm opening the glove compartment and reading this driver's manual, trying to look up loud noises in the driver's manual. And what do we do? What could we do? Let's just bear with this and hope for the best.
This is when I started swearing. And from there, we made our way off.
I figured it might have been something to do with, like, the emergency brake. So in the middle of the highway, I'm like, oh, okay, this page says you to release the emergency brake. Hit that little latch, John. And we did this stupidly in the middle of the road.
I hit this thing. No, that's to turn the emergency brake on. On the highway.
So I'm like, turn it off. And then eventually we get to the nearest exit and we stumble into some body shop. Like, not even, no, there's like, I don't even know the name of this gas station. It was like the mom and pop gas station.
Yeah, this was like Cletus's stop and pump.
And eventually what else do we do? But, you know, check the one little warning that the car gives us is tire pressure. And so, I don't know if I've ever... I probably have to do this 2 times in my life. put the money in and then put the... this thing didn't even have like a gauge to tell you what your tire pressure is. I had to go into the store to buy one of them and then do the whole thing. I felt like a real man checking my tire pressure.
I like how you and me, we feel this is such an elaborate story for 98% of people out there who have filled their tires up seamlessly without any problems. But because of our lack of intelligence, this became a life and death
experience. Fulfilling the stereotype here.
But we lived, everyone. We made it. Well... we're going to get into the Q&A session because by show of hands or by round of applause, how many of you actually have questions? All right. So we got quite the professional setup here. We got a microphone up there. So this is going to be very Kevin Smith-esque. I tried to get Jim Ross. I'm like, Jim, can you maybe come and host my show? Jim was not ready to host an evening with John Pollock and Wei Ting. But we're going to be getting to your questions.
By the way, we're just a word of incentive, I suppose. We will be giving out to people with the best questions tonight one of these very much brand spanking new. We barely even had one of these before we got onto this trip. Review Away t-shirts, which you can get, of course, right now at prowrestlingtees.com/law.
And, as of today, some new shirts up at prowrestlingtees.com/law. The new I'm a John Pollock guy and I'm a Wei Ting guy t-shirts.
These shirts were created by Jason Agnew for our Christmas gifts to John and I as a joke. And, you know, all
I think I'm wearing it.
Oh.
I just remembered that. Not planned.
I feel terrible for not wearing mine.
Wow.
That is me.
Listeners at home, shirt looks awesome.
I only wish that the four people who are not wrestling fans could see that right now. But these shirts just started as a joke, but then all of a sudden people are on Twitter asking for them, and I'm like, I wouldn't even wear this. I wouldn't wear this myself.
The best reaction to these shirts was Wei posting a photo up on Instagram of the two of us with these shirts. I think I'm wearing a crown on my head from my birthday. And the comment was, those shirts are just too much, guys. Jeremy Borash.
True story. So don't wear them around Jeremy Borash. But yes, the people with the best questions will look to give you a shirt. They are in sort of limited supply. We're dealing with a tiny, tiny budget here for a review away. But to the best one, we'll go. And who has the first one?
Why don't you guys just pop up to the microphone and we'll just try and keep this orderly. Oh, look at that. Such great manners amongst listeners here.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Very well. Introduce yourselves.
My name's Tony. I'm from England.
From England. Awesome. Let's see how many countries we can hit today on this show. It'll boost my ego.
My question is, I know it's a little bit different now with regards to the buy rates, but what do you feel is the best way to replace the streak when The Undertaker goes at WrestleMania?
To replace the streak as like a big draw at WrestleMania?
Yes.
I feel like something like that is so organic. You know what I mean? You can't just... it's hard to fabricate something like that. Like, what is the thing that's going on naturally right now that could even rival something like that? You know, can you guys think? Like, what is the big draw? Like, what could there be?
I don't understand the question.
Right now... would you care to explain? Let me talk for you.
I'm sure it's a logical question.
So you understand that there's this thing called the streak, right, in the WrestleMania?
The streak! Dude, I heard him say to replace the screen. I was like, what's wrong with the screen? It's awesome. It looks great. We got second screen experiences. I apologize. The streak. Totally good question.
I think that's an even better question. How do they replace the screen? I don't know. Take it down.
Get the Big Show to cut it into pieces again. I don't know if you can necessarily replicate what they've created here. In a perfect world, there would be an object that you fight for every year where your entire roster is all gunning for something. And when they finally achieve that goal and get, let's call it a championship belt, it is really important. And I don't know if it's super important in regards to what they have created with the streak that they protected. And every year, people are so immensely into that match. It's the most predictable outcome, and yet it's one near fall away from people having a sliver of doubt in their mind that it might end, and it makes for one of the most heated matches of the year. I don't know how you recreate that without years of kind of putting your stock back into your top championship belt, where it really means something for a guy to get to that title level. And I've always believed that a strong championship, it's more important the guys that don't get it as there are that did get it. When you look at the 80s, it was like that was a small class of people that were put into that top position, so that when someone was allowed into that exclusive group, it meant that much more.
Does that satisfy you?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'd destroy the screen at the end of the streak as well, as it said 22-1.
Hey guys, how you doing? I'm Callum from Scotland. I thought I was going to be the British guy, but got that gimmick stolen.
This whole town is probably filled with people from that side of the world, and especially on Monday night, it's going to be quite packed.
I got one quick not serious question, then an actual serious question.
Okay.
And this is not a plug, I promise. Me and my buddy here, we have a podcast with a guy from Australia as well.
All right, get out of here.
And I'm not even going to name it. But I just wanted to ask. We got an email from this guy, Luke Hudson, who's the Mickey James stalker guy, and he seems to spend his time emailing podcasts. So I was wondering if
you
guys...
For those not familiar, when Mickey James got fired, this dude called in a bomb threat to WWE headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut. Really, really upping the profile of the wrestling fan in their basement.
He's this super crazy Australian guy, and I wanted to know if he contacted you guys, because it creeped us out, and I think he issued a death threat to us after we called him out. But there you go. That was
no, apparently our podcast is not at that status yet, where we've gotten a death threat,
you can but wish.
A bomb threat. Damn. I'm trying to think if I've ever received any death threats in my time. I've been called some very, very unsavory things in my time, but I don't think anyone has ever issued death upon me. I think the most someone said, one of my favorite emails I ever got was a couple of years back when a guy just simply contacted me and said, "I used to think you were the shits. Now you're okay." And I saved that email. I thought it was great.
My other quick question was, if here in the bar for the live crowd, one of the TVs is showing the original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man film, which features a cameo appearance from Randy Savage.
Yes.
So I wanted to ask, what was your favorite cameo appearance by a wrestler on TV or in a film?
Oh, boy.
My favorite cameo appearance on TV or film?
Mine is The Rock in Star Trek.
Are we
Trek
being
Voyager.
Polite and just having this pause before we say The Miz on Psych?
Yes, my choice, yeah. That was great.
I loved the A-Team episode where all the wrestlers just showed up. It was just such a bizarre... I mean, here's Tom Billington on the A-Team.
I've always loved seeing Macho Man and Hulk Hogan on Baywatch.
Yeah.
They would have... It was the strangest thing because to me, I mean, I'm so used to seeing pro wrestling the way we watch pro wrestling. Not pro wrestling with a soundtrack behind it and then sound of punching sound effects. I'm like, I don't hear those sounds when at WrestleMania when they're hitting each other. That was one that stands out.
It's not technically a wrestling cameo, but when I was 10 years old watching old reruns of Full House and DJ forgets Kimmy's birthday, and Kimmy is expecting a surprise party and relays to DJ that she gave up tickets to WrestleMania to stay home because of this surprise party, and DJ forgot about it because she's been banging Steve. I just thought, what an idiot. Why would you give up tickets to WrestleMania for this fake surprise party? And it turned out to be a crappy surprise party. And I think that it would have been WrestleMania 7. I remember thinking as a kid, which WrestleMania was she giving up for? Was this Hoosier Dome WrestleMania? Or was this LA Sports Arena WrestleMania? Andrea Barba, dimwit.
I imagine that to be factually inaccurate. Like, she would have had to make her way outside of San Francisco.
Well, San Francisco and Los Angeles. Isn't that... That to me is a drive.
Well, I suppose.
She's not going to Indianapolis. No. Come on. Hogan,
thanks very
Sid.
Much.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. Oh, look at this. The United States champion is here.
How's it going, John Away?
Dean Ambrose.
I listen to you guys all the time, man. I listen to Team 1040, listen to The Law, and that's how I first heard about you guys from your hilarious commercials. And I love when I'm listening to like a review away and you just know when the promo is going to happen from just a little.
Oh, yeah. We put so much time into those.
Yeah.
Way. Talk.
But, are you talking about the ones that are just like clips? Of
yeah, just the little clips where you guys are just talking about the most, like when your dentist called.
My dentist. Legit call. Still haven't seen that dentist.
Oh, man. That was so funny.
All credit, by the way, to Jason Agnew, who is the guy who listens to every single second of our bullshit and just puts together, those glamorous and, for me, very cringeworthy little bits of promo.
They're very well done, though. As a listener, it just shows a lot of personality from you guys. I really like it.
Really?
Yeah, man, for sure. All right. For sure.
I'm like, that's genuine shock from
compared
Wade.
To, yeah, I'm like, compared oh to my, just regular hell? Radio commercials, it's good to have a little change from the normal thing,
thank
right?
Thank you very much.
But my question is, if you guys were to form a tag team, what would your name be? What kind of finisher would you have? And who would you like to feud with like out of any tag team in the history?
Okay. Rice and Potatoes.
Okay. What would your guys' names be, though? Would you just be like, I'm Jerry Rice, and this is Glenn Potatoes?
I would be Knife and Fork, and he would be Chopstick.
No.
I feel when in doubt, we just go the race route, and it's just the cheap pop of the podcast.
I definitely would be like, maybe like Kim Jong Bill. Kim Jong Bill. It would be my name.
And who would that would make me? I could be... I could make a Canadian politician reference, but I guess...
Rob Ford?
You know, Rob Ford is the goat. It was amazing. I brought up Rob Ford's name at the Jim Ross thing. Everyone knows... That is now how we define Toronto.
Okay. Have you guys ever heard of a show called No, You Shut Up with Paul F. Tompkins?
No.
Is this your show? Is this another
Do you have a podcast?
No.
Has Luke Harper contacted you? Luke Hudson?
No, I'm in works with Rowan, though. But this guy, Paul F. Tompkins, he has like a panel show, and it's like they all act really serious, but he interviews puppets. And he has this one puppet. His name's like Wally whatever, but he plays like the mayor of Ontario. And all the escapades that Rob Ford has gotten into, they kind of relay it and exaggerate it, and it's just really funny. You guys should check it out.
Okay.
It's cool. We probably will check that out. Now that I think of my character, when we were at Ring of Honor on Friday night and watching Adam Cole and Jay Briscoe just absolutely annihilate one another within the context of a pro wrestling match, I told Way, you know, if I became an independent wrestler, my gimmick would be I don't take any shit in a ring. I would be the safest guy. I wouldn't take a vertical suplex to the floor. I would never do color. And it was like I would build up to the big match where I hit an elbow drop off the top.
Man,
and that would be I would be the most boring independent wrestler ever. And my gimmick is I'm just cruising until I get my developmental deal.
That's like, do you remember when Ric Flair finally acted? Because he always went to the top and they would give him like the press, but remember when he actually like hit it on a Raw like a few years ago? The place went apeshit because I don't think anyone ever saw him actually land a move off the top rope before.
It's a great spot. You're never going to see Ric Flair taking an electric chair on the outside of the apron.
I think you would essentially, your gimmick would essentially be Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, pretty much, man.
He's made a career out of that, so.
You're just not putting anybody over.
Worked okay. Awesome.
So who would you like to feud with out of like all the tag Bushwhackers or the Heavenly Bodies? All the greats.
Power and Glory.
Power and Glory?
Power and Glory meets Rice and Potatoes.
In a ladder match? Or what are you going
with? Oh, geez.
Or something on a pole match. That's always the best.
Sure. It would be a... what would you put on a pole, Way?
I don't know. My dad on a pole?
Wing Ting on a pole.
That sounds good to me, yo. Thanks for
awesome, answering. Thanks, man.
What a terrible visual.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a couple quick questions. I was wondering if the...
What's your name?
My name is Ben. I'm from Indiana.
Indiana?
Woo!
Did you go to WrestleMania 8?
This is my first WrestleMania.
Oh, all right.
Here to be deflowered, folks.
I was curious if the guy that made the Toyota comment at the Hall of Fame was the same guy that sat next to Agnew at the UFC.
No, it was not. Though one of the guys that did meet Jason Agnew in Dallas was in town, and I did run into him. And no, this was a separate. I have no idea who this guy was in front of us in the
media
section.
He might have been a member of the media.
That's what I said.
We're in the media section, and this guy was like taking notes. And I don't know. I don't know what else, what media what is representing. Maybe
I thought that was a car dealership. Get me a 94 Minami Toyota, unleaded, with tire pressure.
And I'm debating between the Toyota and the Misawa for mileage.
Yeah, it's got poor Kobashi mileage.
Yeah.
And I was also curious if you ever heard back from Tiny Lister's agent as far as maybe contributing to a No Holds Barred sequel. If you guys ever have to go back and redo reviews, that is my all-time favorite. And when you do the impersonation of Vince, where Hogan's doing push-ups in bed and you're talking about his dick, it kills me. I love it.
The great thing is, a lot of these reviews, when I hear stuff like that, I've completely forgotten about them. And I sound so creepy when you bring up stuff like that. Tiny Lister, listen, I have reached out to so many innocuous characters to have. I will give a review away exclusive here that we have not shared. When we did the Christmas show, we were just going to joke around and have a couple people on. And then suddenly we were like, no, we should get some like really big surprises for this show. And the biggest one was Vinny from Total Divas, who has a personal agent, which is astounding. And then the other day, myself and Wei, we were by the WWE hotel as we were meeting up with some people, and inside of a gift shop, and I look out the window, and who should run past us from her morning jog but Arion Andrew. And the first thing I think of was, oh my God, he can't be far behind. And sure as shit, trudging along right behind, it's Vinny. And my God, was I excited.
Yo, baby, slow down, baby, slow down, man. We met Vladimir this weekend at ROH, so that's off of our checklist. I would say Vinny from Total Divas is probably next up on that list.
So the next man. Had it come to be, I really wanted to get Vinny on the Christmas show. That would have been just the greatest end to the Christmas show, I feel. Mm-hmm. Getting Vinny and maybe his agent on the line as well to ask, what do you do? What is a day in the life of Vinny?
Wouldn't it be amazing if, like, it turns out he's just some actor and, like, he's a guy with, like, a British accent and he's, like, super, like, sophisticated.
They just went to a talent agency. They picked, okay, we need Eva Maria's dad. We need Eva Maria's brothers. Yeah. We need an Arion boyfriend. We need some baby for Naomi.
Ooh.
Remember the line with Naomi? We need a fake baby. Terrible joke. Let's move on.
Thanks, fellas. I really enjoy the show. It makes work go a lot faster.
Thank you,
thanks,
man.
Again. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. By the way, quick shout out. We got some drink specials up at the bar here at the beautiful Roundhouse. What's it called? Roundhouse Bar and Grill.
The Roundhouse Bar and Grill.
WrestleMania drink specials.
Can I order another coffee? That would be my official request. Thank you so much. All right, next up. What is your name, sir?
Hey, guys, I'm Ryan from Florida.
From Florida, all right. U.S. represented. Indianapolis to Florida now.
I was at WrestleMania 28, so this will be my second Mania.
Awesome. Excited.
And I just want to say it's really awesome to meet you guys because I've listened to you guys since you first started doing your podcast. Listened to pretty much every single one.
What is our worst show that we've done? Like, just be honest with us. Which review did you listen? Be like,
this is the reason why you're actually here. We just want, like, an intervention about how to...
All right. Well, give us one that just was a terrible one.
For me, probably Review America. It wasn't wrestling related. So.
No, it was not.
I'm guessing a lot of you don't even remember that. That was when we decided to review the American presidential election. And I don't know why.
That is what I would refer to as my World Bodybuilding Federation. That was all me. And I just roped way into doing this with me. And somehow some listener was working on someone's campaign and contacted us to be a guest. And then, of course, Justin Terry, for those of you who might be familiar with our old Byte Radio days, he came on as to just anger everybody.
Basically, we're not a political show. We don't really know any experts. And so we're like, oh, who amongst our friends is a conservative? Who amongst our friends is a Democrat? And so our representatives, yes, were Justin Terry and poor Ahmad Butt, who came on our show. He's the guy who used to design a lot of our Photoshops. I mean, really nice guy. Great guy. We love Ahmad. Yeah, right.
Endless. And so what a great description.
They came on, and poor Ahmad afterwards was just crucified on our message board.
Well, he was, anti-religion, but pro-crucifixion. So didn't turn out too well for Ahmad that night. But you know what? You come on the show, you got to be ready to be attacked in some form or fashion. Yeah, Review America.
What's your question?
Sucked.
First thing is, when I was looking at the map to come here, I realized that there's a street here, Willow Street.
Yeah.
Whoa.
There is a Willow Street. We totally passed by.
I was wondering if you guys saw that.
No.
my other question for you is, what were the two big spots from the December 19th, 2013 edition of Impact, Jeff Hardy versus Magnus?
The two big spots?
Yeah.
Wait, is this a trivia question you're asking us? What were the two big spots? Oh, yes, it is a trivia. Because
you've got to explain this to me.
Because you said on that review, I guarantee you a couple of weeks from now, I will not remember what the two big spots were.
And this ain't putting me on the spot. That's putting you on the spot.
All right. Let me do my best. One of them featured Jeff Hardy. Was a ladder at the ramp? Like, yeah. Was this a ladder
match? Don't help him.
Okay. He was about to climb the ladder, which for some reason was on the ramp. I don't know what he was trying to retrieve. Maybe, like, something. Maybe he was trying to destroy
the... What kind of a match was it, Wei? What was it called?
You never asked me that. I never promised to remember that. But I will tell you the spot. The spot was he was about to climb the ladder, and then in comes... EC3?
He was one of them.
Okay. EC3 came out to attack him, to jerk him off the ladder, and then was unsuccessful until Dixie Carter came out?
No.
Do you guys actually know? Do you know?
Everyone wrote this down.
Well, you guys should host this show then. Okay, you were there.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Okay, so am I half right? Did I get one of them right? EC3 came out to attack. The other spot featured some type of chair.
You're just throwing stuff out.
I don't know. I give up. What happened? What happened, John?
This was with Rockstar Spud coming out to tip the ladder over, causing Jeff Hardy to plummet onto the stage. That's what I recall from that match.
Is this true?
That was one of them.
The first, last, and worst Dixieland match.
Well, what was the second spot? I thought I got the second.
That was the second spot.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That question is so good that I think we are about to give it.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good from my complete oblivious recall.
Our first Review Away t-shirt. What size? You look like a medium, right?
Here you are.
Ooh. All right.
Enjoy.
No need for a Daniel Bryan shirt any longer. Now you got a Review Away shirt.
Take that off right now.
I was also just wondering if you guys could give us your official WrestleMania predictions at some point.
We're going to avoid that because this show's going to be up on Wednesday. So,
oh no, let's. Hey, why ruin the match?
Why not?
This is Wednesday.
Wait, what is going on?
You mean you?
Hey, he didn't even say which WrestleMania. We'll assume 30.
Okay. We'll do it anyway. Sure. I think my predictions. Like, you want to know? You want me to know who wins?
Yeah.
The whole card.
Yeah,
wow.
The whole card.
Well, to win the Divas 14 women's matchup.
The Miz.
What?
The Miz. And his new gimmick is the Mizzes.
We're not going to go through this entire card. This is already a big card.
Give us three prognostications of what people are just going to be like yelling at their iPod. No, moron.
This is what I'm predicting, okay? I am going to, because the promotion has been so strong for this Daniel Bryan Triple H match, and I've said it before, Triple H is a bigger heel right now in the company than either Orton or Batista. And therefore, I feel like Daniel Bryan is not going to necessarily win that first match. There's going to be some type of screwy finish that'll make the main event a four-way, and we're going to get all four of them in there. I know a lot of you are groaning at that, but that's how I see them thinking. What do you think, John, for that match?
Daniel Bryan beats Triple H. Stephanie is inserted as the guest referee. And as Batista is huffing and puffing on the floor, Orton is laid out and Stephanie won't count three. Bryan gets up, goes to the corner, starts shaking the ropes. As Stephanie tends to Orton, she stands up, turns around, and Bryan blasts her face off with the knee. And I get my spot that I've been clamoring for months. No. As Stephanie McMahon is laid out and special referee Steve Austin runs in to count three and goes off the air chugging down beer with Daniel Bryan as the new champion.
He asked, the man asked for a prediction, not your wet dream of what could happen at WrestleMania. I loved how we all clapped at the mention of male on female violence, including one of the few women here who was like, "Yeah, hit her, hit that bitch."
That was one of my highlights of the Hall of Fame was Warrior just running down the DVD and yelling about how that was not an accurate story and it was bullshit that they put that out, and all the talent starts clapping, including Hogan. Yeah, Warrior, that was a joke.
I was, to me, crap.
Pro wrestling in a nutshell was epitomized by that.
Yeah. Are we going to keep going down the card? Undertaker, Brock Lesnar. Undertaker, I guess.
I think we've given out some good predictions.
Yeah, I hope that satisfies.
How about Wyatt versus Cena?
I say Bray Wyatt wins. I think he wins, and they continue to Extreme Rules. I just think you get so much more legs out of that feud with Bray Wyatt winning the first match, and I think they rematch at Extreme Rules, and I think win or lose, I think Bray Wyatt has benefited so much. This has been the biggest program of his career, and he's totally stepped up and has just been one of the highlights, I think, for Mania this year. I think he's already ascended to that level, and I think the match will be great on Sunday. I think that the crowd's going to be so into that match, particularly Bray, and I don't think it's make or break, win or lose, but I think Bray wins.
I actually have a question for you all, because I'm assuming a lot of you guys will also be attending Raw on the Monday. Yeah. In previous years, there has always been sort of a one or two standout reactions on these post-WrestleMania Raws. Two years ago, it was Daniel Bryan. Last year, of course, we had Fandango. Who are you guys all hoping to cheer this year? One at a time. What are you saying?
Mr. T's mother.
Mr. T's mother, yes.
Cesaro. Freight Train.
Okay.
Freight Train.
Serious answers, guys. Let us make the jokes here, okay? That's who I'm predicting, too. I think Antonio Cesaro, who's unfortunately on a prelim show, what, at 5:30? Wait, is he on the match at 5:30 today?
Yes.
5:30, I mean, geez.
I think it'd be great. I think Cesaro totally gets that reaction. I think Bad News Barrett, when he comes up on that riser.
Explain the appeal. One of you, please get up on the microphone. Who is the best representative here of Bad News Barrett? Explain the appeal of this character to me.
When he came...
Come up here.
He's
come up
British.
Here. Why Bad News Barrett?
Because he's utter shit. And it's really funny. It's not meant to be funny, but it is.
He came out to...
Oh, so you're laughing at him?
I just find it really funny.
I think a lot of people... Listen, this weekend always kind of skews the average of how over a guy is, and I think that probably is, you know, Wade Barrett. I think he's going to get a huge reaction this weekend and probably be back to normal in a couple of weeks. But the way he came out at the Hall of Fame, the swagger this guy had, and he just owned this moment. He came out... Jesus.
It's just so ludicrous.
I think he's just... there's a certain appeal. And I like his music, too. Am I the only one who likes his music? Yep.
But here's the issue. And it's much the same with what happened with Fandango last year. this is, in the end, a comedic character. And how far are you going to go with a comedic character? Do you ever see Bad News Barrett, no matter what reaction he gets, ever main eventing his show?
You're arguing, though, who's going to get these big reactions this weekend? It's not so much that this is a long-term key to the main event gimmick for the guy, but in terms of, I mean, Fandango was the epitome of comedy last year, and people just went nuts for this guy, where there's, wow, this really worked. This whole idea of beating Chris Jericho worked. And that's, I think, the appeal with Wade Barrett. It's not something sustaining, but I think absolutely he's got some kind of charm with the audience. And for Christ's sake, he's the linear champion. Daniel Bryan beats him on Monday night. That's probably the prediction I will make right now. He's not in the Battle Royal, as I learned during my interview with him. That was a great moment. Well, Wade, you're getting ready for the Battle Royal. Actually, I'm not in the Battle Royal.
It was so sad. Like, it was.
I've got
like
some bad news. That guy, he must get so many stupid jokes in every interaction of people, and I was just as guilty
as
this.
I was there. I was lining up. I was just shooting B-roll of Bad News Barrett, and then there's a woman with a Bad News Barrett shirt that was last in line, and I'm like, wow, for somebody who, you know, made the effort to wear the shirt, she certainly waited to take his autograph. She comes up. I'm afraid I've got some bad news, Wade. My photo didn't turn out well the first time. So this is a woman that had actually lined up a second time, but it was totally worth it, I'm sure, for her just to say that line to him. And so I'm sorry, gentlemen behind you. Well, let's just get you to ask your question before we go. No, you can go ahead.
All right. Yeah. It was just about Bad News Barrett. I don't know if you saw the hotel. You know the hotel they're all staying in? He came out yesterday, and all the fans were sitting about.
Yeah, they're all at the Roosevelt, if any of you guys want to go interrupt some people as they're eating chicken.
He went to get into a car, and then the guy went, no, that's not your car. He came all the way out, got in the car, and then got told it wasn't his car and had to go back in. All the fans just went, I've got some bad.
That's awesome.
Poor guy.
At the same time, I think he's a charming dude, first of all.
At the same time, no matter what happens to him now in his life, any negative thing that happens, if he could chalk it up to like a part of his gimmick. Like, you just laugh about it. Your dog died. I've got some bad news, Wade. And you could just laugh about it. Nothing might faze this guy.
All right, who's up next?
Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks, man.
What's your name?
Roberto from New York. One of my favorite moments is when you guys were arguing, the Austin Aries, when he had his crotch on Christy. I mean, I know it's a sore subject.
That was heated.
Guys, I don't know if we want to go back and revisit this.
That was one of my favorite moments that you guys had. But my question is Agnew really as big of a dick as he seems on the radio?
That is like the number one question we get asked.
I think it's a gimmick, but I don't really know. Like,
listen, with Jason Agnew, he is a polarizing individual to many, many people. I can speak to firsthand. The guy is not a bad guy. There are times with callers that I am sure he has intimidated them. At the same time, he's trying to keep the show flowing, and there are times when, myself, when I will listen to other shows and you'll hear callers call in, sometimes you need to have that bad cop, and I think he does play that role. But if you're asking if he comes in and he's just like playing a character, not at all. I think that he's an extension of his real personality.
I will say, I don't know if we should even expose his character like this. I feel like we should play this up.
Yeah, it's not his real name.
Yeah, he's the biggest. He's the biggest dick. He just comes in just like, wait, are you Japanese? Anyway, go ahead. No, but he's always been incredibly. He's my friend, you know. Like, so he's always been. He's very fair and very good to the people that are around him. And I suppose he just doesn't have much of a patience for stupid questions. It's just, you know.
I can. Let me share this. When I began with the law, first of all, I was just starting in university, and Jason Agnew had helped me out a bunch in high school of just getting into the university program I was in, listening to a lot of my stuff. So when a position came open, they just needed a call screener, and he reached out to me. I had talked to him, you know, a handful of times, but he held on to my email, had me come in, and I started call screening, and it was just a huge. Big deal for me to be working here on the law. I was a big fan before I started with this show. And then in 2004, where I did the infamous Chris Jericho interview, it was a case where Dan and Jay were both busy, and they just, both of them, were like, well, let's send Pollock to do it. And it sounds like just nothing, but I've encountered so many people in this industry who have such a paranoia about allowing anybody to get a step further. It's a very, you know, people are always concerned about job security, and if this guy can do this, then that means one less position for me. And I've encountered that firsthand. And for these guys to allow me to do that interview and give me the chance to be terrible for a number of years. I go back and listen, and I was not ready to be doing this stuff, but I got those reps in. And if those two had not, they could have easily said, we do the interviews, you're the call screener, and I have a job essentially because of those two.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, guys. I'm Dan. I'm originally from New Jersey, but now I do live in New Orleans. I have a quick two.
Good move.
Yeah, just in time.
Apologies to New Jersey.
home away from home. Yeah, I have a quick two-parter. On Raw, The Undertaker said that one day the streak will end. Do you think they actually will book it to he's going to keep going until someone breaks it? And if so, is that person currently in WWE, NXT, or somewhere off the roster?
Personally, I think he's going to retire undefeated. I don't necessarily see anybody benefiting. Obviously, somebody would benefit from breaking his streak, but I feel like just the idea of this man never having been defeated at WrestleMania is stronger of a pro wrestling story, a pro wrestling memory, than somebody who can claim to have beat The Undertaker and ended his streak. I wouldn't want to see it end.
The idea that Lance Storm wrote about months ago was this idea that The Undertaker would say, this streak is going to continue forever until it ends. And you're essentially telling people it will one day end with a loss. And that would add so much intrigue, I think, every year where you're really questioning, is this the last year? Is he done at this point? I think if you were ever going to end it, that's a great hook to have where you don't know when it's coming, but it is coming. That said, I was always one of those guys who was, 15 years ago, they've got to end it. And someone will benefit from it. But it has become now such a huge thing. It's the only stat in wrestling that people really take seriously to any degree. I think it's way more over than any title is. And I think that it's one of those things that WWE wants to have for their entire, big voice crack, entire mythology of The Undertaker being undefeated forever. So my assumption is it doesn't end.
I mean, I don't think anybody would ever be worthy of something like that. How do you determine who could be worthy to do such a thing?
Certainly, Bad News Barrett.
Yeah. Certainly nobody on the roster right now, I feel. I mean, I feel like anybody who is even up for that spot will be criticized to such a degree that I don't think anybody would be worthy.
Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Cool. Hey, thanks.
No problem. I just had this idea come into my mind. If you say that no one's worthy to break the streak, do you think it would go over well that, let's say at Cowboys Stadium, it's a 10 count, no one wins,
no,
and The Undertaker just... They kill the streak without...
With a count out?
Giving... No, like a 10 count. He and his opponent push each other to the limit.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I thought you meant like a double count out. Okay.
The opponent isn't worthy enough to have the accolade of breaking the streak, but you get to end The Undertaker in a way that people may not expect.
I think there's two options. You beat the guy, or he just goes out undefeated. I think you don't really have to toy with any other options than that. At least I wouldn't.
A show as big as WrestleMania, especially a main event like every Undertaker matches right now, I think you have to have some decisive finish.
Maybe WWE Network, they'll start a show called How I Beat the Streak, and it'll feature like Bob Saget as the narrator, and it just leads up to how this wrestler one day beat the streak.
And then it'll reveal that...
At the end, it was Robin.
Yes. Terrible.
I've gotten so much mileage out of that finale on Monday.
My other question is, if this podcast gets corrupted, will we re-record this?
Yes.
Remember your questions, because you might have to ask them again.
Yeah. Were we not hitting record? Or have we spilled coffee?
Oh, shit. I forgot. At this time, why don't we welcome our guest?
Okay, let's give him one more.
I think Bray Wyatt, I think his WrestleMania debut might go down as the greatest debut of anybody in WrestleMania
What are
history.
You going to personally do when Bray Wyatt comes out? Let's see your reaction. Rehearse your reaction.
I'm clapping. I'm doing the clap. I'm clapping along to the beats. I hope everybody is clapping along to the beats.
That won't be the best reaction of all
time. No, I'm just saying, I think the match, the in-ring work, I think the whole spectacle of it, for a person to debut, and just to debut against John Cena, as big as a level of star as he is, like, I can't think of anyone that's had that big of a debut for WrestleMania.
You know, something that struck me during our time in New Orleans is how many people are dressed up as Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
And
Wade's got a theory.
Every time I walk around, though, I have to question, are you dressing up as Bray Wyatt, or is this how you always look? I mean, I don't know if it's like just an in thing to wear, like, I mean, a lot of dudes with beards, of course, but like these Hawaiian shirts and then the hats. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it's if people normally look like that.
Well, it even seems like his character's like from down on the bayou and everything, so...
Right.
This seems like it's the perfect place for him to debut at WrestleMania, too.
Yeah,
so.
He's kind of got that same appeal where, you know, the Rolling Stones are in town. And man, all these guys downtown in the slums, they're all dressed up like Keith Richards. You don't really know. Is this a tribute or is this just a byproduct of their own misgivings, their own self-destructive nature?
So far, out of all the WrestleManias, who's been your favorite WrestleMania debut?
Debut?
Yeah.
Well... How many have there been? I mean, Fandango. What else?
I'm not even necessarily saying like they had their first match ever at WrestleMania. I'm just saying like
their first WrestleMania?
WrestleMania match. Like,
I'm terrible at these questions. This is a terrible idea for Q&A.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. I mean, so many of the people you most associate with a WrestleMania, it came you know years later. I mean, whether it be a Shawn Michaels, a Bret Hart, it's like who? Brock Lesnar. Yeah, his first WrestleMania was a main event. Nearly killed himself. That was, I mean, a fantastic match.
Yeah,
and insane when you look back at it. Like that match would never happen today.
I
given
wish I
the guy's
went. I'm from Vancouver,
neck.
And I just should have went, but I never did, and that's like my biggest regret. One of the reasons why I'm here is because I don't want to miss Daniel Bryan winning if it's going to happen.
Yeah,
right?
this is like a pent up 10-year. Thing you're about to release after 10 years.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Serenity now. All right.
Thank you. Thank you for your question.
All right. We're going to welcome in right now a man that is completely responsible for this thing coming together, got in touch with us after WrestleMania last year about doing this kind of interactive Q&A session for WrestleMania weekend. He runs here at the Holiday Inn West Bank. I want to welcome in Dustin Floyd. Dustin, what gave you the idea to possibly let wrestling fans take over the Roundhouse Bar and Grill with the Review Away listeners, the Review Away universe?
Yeah, it's actually crazy. This is I'm a huge fan of wrestling since I was five, and so I said there's a lot of things that come to the city of New Orleans that I just really have. I don't have a lot of experience with. I said, this is my event. This is my event. I've been preparing for this all my life. And so I think it was one of those things that we were kind of ahead of the curve on, and I had a lot of experience. And then I started talking about it with my staff, and I found out a lot of my staff are closet wrestling fans too. And so it's never something that I shared with just everybody, and I don't know if everybody in the room is the same way. It's kind of the thing that if I started talking about wrestling with some people, it was like my IQ points dropped by 10. And so I said, you know what, this is not my deep, dark secret. If somebody knew, I didn't hide it, but I didn't share it with everybody. I started talking about it with staff, and they were like, yeah, I watch that stuff, or I used to watch that stuff, and we all just really got pumped up about it. And so this is a huge honor for us to have you guys here, and me as a special guest. I'm in no way a special guest. I am just thankful to have you guys here with us today.
What have you found? You mentioned that a lot of your staff and perhaps people in the city are actually closeted or big wrestling fans. What era of pro wrestling would they usually have watched?
The bulk of our staff are old from when New Orleans was the wrestling hotbed. Okay, so in the 80s, they are old Junkyard Dog stuff, Ted DiBiase. That's the biggest fan base I think you're going to find in New Orleans. Me, myself, it's old WCW is what I grew up on.
Jim Ross, you know, we've talked about it, but Jim Ross was doing a lot of media, and he had mentioned to us how a lot of the people here grew up on Mid-South, and then throughout the Attitude Era, they grew up with him on that, too. So I think, but at the same time, though, how is the pro wrestling scene here outside of WrestleMania season?
It's not huge. It's not. We don't get a lot of events. We'll probably get maybe one good WWE event a year, and so I think the last pay-per-view we got was maybe 3 years ago, so it's not always that we get this, and this is to get an event like WrestleMania. I was so excited, and so we started hearing about it a little bit before it came. We started the city started talking it up before they made the announcement, and so as soon as I heard, I reached out to you guys first, because I followed you guys for probably 3 years previous to my contacting you, and I said, these are the guys I want. If I could choose what wrestling fans I want in our hotel, it's the guys that this is. I get the humor. I get you filled a lot of empty miles for me when I was going up and down the road inspecting hotels. And I said, this is the kind of folks that I want at the hotel. And it's just been a great weekend. I've been able to kind of step back. And, yeah, I'm doing the job. But I'm getting to hang out and have some of the best discussions with hardcore wrestling fans. And that's just been awesome.
You know that this whole idea of WrestleMania coming to New Orleans, it just started with some city councilor going on YouTube and picking a Monday Nitro featuring Master P at the Superdome and just thinking, man, we've got to reinvent wrestling at the Superdome. Let's put a bid in.
It's gotta be, and I think they've certainly done it. I hope everyone has enjoyed the city. I think that we've really tried to turn out the red carpet for everyone, and I hope everybody's having a great time, especially all of our hotel guests.
How many of you have had beignets?
You gotta have some beignets, yeah.
And
hand grenades.
I feel like this trip, I've unofficially made it a goal of mine to gain 10 pounds. I haven't weighed myself yet, but I'm hoping I'm at least halfway there. I have a few days to go, but the food here is just spectacular. The best WrestleMania town food I've ever had.
Awesome,
compared
awesome.
To last year,
we worked really hard at that. So I'm glad everybody's enjoying the food. But yeah, you got to have beignets, hurricane drink. You got to have. Char-grilled oysters, if you hadn't had that yet. There's just some things that you really got to try. And
frog legs.
Frog legs are good. Yeah.
Frog legs.
Lots of interesting
anybody.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Boiled oysters in New Jersey has a whole different meaning from last year's WrestleMania to this year's WrestleMania, I find. Dustin, thank you so much,
thanks
man,
so
for
much,
hosting
guys.
Us
yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
putting this
thanks
all together.
So much for coming by.
Well, Mr. Ting, we're winding down here. Before we wrap things up, does anyone have any more questions before we shut things down? You've had enough of us at this point.
I think people just want to talk to us off microphone, perhaps.
Yeah, they want to get down to the scandalous dirt that we can provide.
Yeah, so we can talk shit about each other and not.
We don't talk to each other unless there are microphones present.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a ton of fun, guys. We honestly can't thank you enough for coming out. I know there's 10 million things to do in the city all weekend long. It's WrestleMania Day, and you guys made this podcast a little part of your day. So thank you so much, folks. Like, are you going to say something nice?
What am I supposed to say?
I don't know. Thank a guy for the beer he got you. Say hello.
I did thank him. I did thank you very much. I want to say I hope you have all enjoyed your weekend here at WrestleMania. And I hope I am extremely grateful to not only be in this town, to do the job that I do, to be on the same podcast as one of the best, if not the best reporter in all of the industry, John Pollock.
Where's Dave Meltzer?
And I'm extremely grateful that you have all decided to show up, because I know, whether it be a cab ride or a car ride, you did have to make quite a bit of effort to get here. So I appreciate that very much. Hope you guys get completely drunk tonight, completely drunk tomorrow, and Rick's Cabaret on Bourbon. Enjoy.
A warning we got about the hand grenades. It's like candy going down, but it's like sewage coming out. So be forewarned if you have a hand grenade. And instead of ending this show with a song, we'll give Master P a break this week. Everyone knows that in the intro, we've got a schoolroom of kids chanting Wei Ting. So I thought we could maybe get a chant that we could put into the intro, Wei.
Okay.
Should we just replace Wei Ting?
Yeah,
the
sure.
New chant? So maybe we can get everyone on three to get three Wei Tings out
no,
of
no, 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 no. Let's not chant my name. We should chant something else.
Paulick. Paulick.
Paulick. Paulick. Paulick. Paulick.
Listen to Review Away. That's it. That's the end.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Thanks very much, everybody. Did it record?